from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. It's a Tuesday on Sports Daily. Jacob Albrecht, Tommy Kester alongside you. Glad to be here with you on this Tuesday. What a fun day, unless you're a Royals fan. Then you're an aggravated day. Can't wait till 6:30 to get the next game going here. As the Royals, well, they stumbled through out of the gates there. And we told you, kind of hard to predict Brady Singer right now. And he battled and did his thing. But the Royals, boy, they have really struggled in a minute. What is that now? Like, what is that? 15 out of 19 losses or something in Minnesota, just something absolutely insane.
Yeah, I think they're 2-6 lately in the last eight games they've played.
It's been bad. It's been bad there in Minnesota. We'll get more into that. Jacob Albrecht here alongside Tommy Kester. The IHOP hotline is open if you need to vent, Royals fans, 869-1240. It's brought to you by IHOP, which is excited to bring back its all-you-can-eat pancakes deal through September 15th. Jad Chambers is there for you. Thanks to all those listening to us on KFH, on the Odyssey app. Thanks to those of you watching us on 12 News Connected on Facebook, YouTube, and X. You can leave your comments in those places as well. Glad to be here with you. We've got an AP Top 25 poll that came right as we left the air. These things love to drop at 11 o'clock, apparently. So we'll look into that, where it means, what it means for K-State, KU. Pretty much the same as the coaches' polls. But I do, and my buddy Brandon Zinner did some of this last night on K-Witch. Do you want to look at the schedules for KU and K-State? We've spent just a little bit of time on that. But boy, I got to tell you, if preseason predictions are right, you've got a tale of two seasons there as far as the difficulty of a schedule between KU and K-State. KU's is significantly easier as of now. And of course, that will change. But we'll take a look. We'll tell you what we mean. We get a little more clarity on the Hollywood Brown situation for the Chiefs. I think we could classify it as good news coming out of Chiefs camp yesterday as it pertains to Hollywood Brown and that injury. Certainly could have been worse news, but we'll get into that as well, what it means for the Chiefs. Making our way through it. Tommy, how are you this morning?
Man, I'm good. Happy Tuesday. Good to see you today. It was great to wake up this morning to the rainfall and all of that. I mean, it just kind of dumped. So glad that we got that at least. I know that it was kind of a loud and rowdy morning and some people were without power and that sort of thing. But from a rain perspective, definitely good to get that downpour.
Yeah, it's it is good to see. It's a Tuesday. Tuesday's my watering day in the new restrictions. So I'm like, I'm going to water anyway, even though it rained. You know, it's the only chance I get. So I probably have a jungle on my hands. But yeah, it's all do rain dances right now and hope it fell over Cheney Lake. I have not looked to see if it fell over Cheney Lake yet, but I know a lot of places got a lot of rain. So yeah, we're always happy about that. We'll have three different giveaways for you today on the program. We'll get you a chance to win a really cool opportunity to go see and maybe meet Tim Tebow this weekend and some other local baseball legends. Give you a chance if you're a gun and knife enthusiast to go to the Gun and Knife Show, and then some HTO as well that we typically give away. So all of that coming for you as well. Tommy, it was a frustrating night for the Royals. You know, you don't like to kind of come out of the gates like that. It just sort of, you know, cuts the sails and you know, cuts the wind out of your sails and all those things. But they couldn't get it done. It had a promising start, though. You start the game off, you get a Bobby Witt Jr. home run, you're up, and then, you know, one bad inning for Brady Singer can escalate quickly, and that's kind of his thing. Like, they can – all that came with two outs, by the way, all of it.
Yeah, I mean, it did. And the thing about Brady Singer and the way that that second inning played out for him, and you mentioned the way that it can kind of pile up on him, it was really kind of spiraled out of control very quickly. You know, the home run – three-run shot to put the Twins up 4-2. And then, you know, another home run from Lewis, and that put the Twins up, you know, pretty much for good at that point. I think what's interesting about Brady Singer, and I've noticed this with him, and part of the issue, I think, with the spiraling is that when he has one bad batter or a couple of bad batters back-to-back, I don't know if it's, you know, a lack of precision or if he gets in his own head or what it is, but pitches that were sharp just a couple of batters prior are all of a sudden not sharp anymore. You know, he's leaving breaking pitches up in the zone. You know, he's catching too much of the plate. And that's kind of the way that spiral has worked throughout the season. That's definitely what happened last night. And, you know, it went from a 2-0 Royals lead after you mentioned that Bobby Witt Jr. home run and then Kyle Isbell driving in another run there in the top of the second. All of a sudden, with two outs in the bottom of the second, the Twins, they just jumped all over Brady Singer. And that's kind of the way it's been feast or famine for him throughout the course of the year. And sometimes with a guy like Brady Singer, when you start seeing that, and I'm sure that the Royals have noticed this throughout the season, when he doesn't have the best stuff, it's not because he's not the mechanics are bad or, you know, because he's lost something on his pitches. I think it's a mental thing. I think he gives up a run or two and all of a sudden, you know, he starts throwing pitches that are easily center cut in the middle of the strike zone. And, you know, the batters typically will tee off on that.
And they leave him in, and I like that they leave him in, by the way, because it's for him, like, he's just going to go like he, no matter what. That's why I love watching him pitch. Like, he's just going to get in there and fire away. Like, it was just, you know, he had a bad inning last night but he still got them, you know, through five innings. They were able to use Carlos Hernandez to sort of eat it. Doesn't really hurt your bullpen plan for the rest of the series. So that's part of the reason I like Brady Singer. And we talk about his stuff. It wasn't that he didn't have good stuff. He struck out 9 batters in 5 innings. So it wasn't a stuff thing. He just let that inning sort of spiral on him.
It's not, you know, that the mechanics are bad. It's not that he, you know, doesn't have the good stuff. It's just, and again, that's why I go back to, you know, potentially it being some kind of mental thing. You know, obviously you're going to give up a home run, a 3-run shot to put the Twins on top. You know, with two outs, you could have gotten out of the inning. That's, you know, that's going to mess with your psyche a little bit, especially when, you know, you're a younger guy like Brady Singer. And again, it's one of those situations where it can snowball on you really quick. And all of a sudden the Twins have a 6-run second inning. To your point, they left Brady Singer out there. And I think it was a combination of a couple things. Number one, they want to see him work through situations like that. And to your point, he struck out 9 through 5 innings. So his stuff was overall pretty good outside of, you know, the disaster of a second inning. But number two, it's the opening game of a 3-game set against Minnesota. You don't want to have to run your bullpen out there in the second or third inning or even the fourth inning in game number one of a 3-game set on a Monday That's like the worst case scenario for the Royals. So, you know, it's not like they, I don't want to say they, you know, they were waving the white flag there by saying, hey, Brady Singer is not pitching great. We're going to keep him in there. We're just going to concede this game. I don't think that's what they were doing, but at the same time, you don't want to have to, you know, put a lot of strain on your bullpen as this series progresses. So I understand them leaving Singer in.
It's the right thing to do. And they'll do the same thing with Lugo in a little bit with, you know, with Reagan's, but I do have some concern still about the stamina of the starters and the effectiveness of the starters. It's hard for me to imagine that they will be as good, let's call it, as they were in the first half, right? Basically three starters that are worthy of being all-stars. Now, that doesn't mean they can't still be really good. That's not what I'm saying at all. I just think the rest of the team's going to have to step it up. They've been so good with runners in scoring position. I think you feel good about the offense, but the bullpen is going to have to probably bridge some of that gap, right? The bullpen will be a bigger part of what they need to do now versus what it was early in the season. And so that's okay. Like that, you know, that's why they brought in, you know, bullpen pieces at the deadline. They'd like to get Harvey healthy, obviously, but Ursa can help there. Bubich can help there. It's all right, but you know, you still need these starters to be effective for the Royals to make this run. And so now you get your other two aces sort of trying to level this thing out. And again, as we talked about yesterday, the reality is, Tom, you just got to make sure you get one of these. If you get one of these, you've lost one game in the standings. Okay, so it's not that big a deal. But if you don't get one of these, now you've lost three games in the standings. And that is a big deal. So you got to get one. You probably like tonight's matchup against the rookie, against the guy I believe who hasn't pitched yet in the big leagues, if that's still holding true on the projected starter for the Twins tonight. But you got to get the Royals this one probably. And then you still hope you can take two or three. You still hope you can gain a game on the Twins. You know, gaining a game in the series probably feels bigger than losing one because you flip-flop on the other side. And Austin brings up a good point, and we appreciate this, Austin. So it is Zebby Matthews, and that's a guy who's pitched for the Wind Surge this year, gets the call up to start tonight, which is pretty cool. You love to see that. And I don't know, you know, how he projects as a big leaguer. We can pull up his numbers here real quick for the Surge. Let's take a look at his minor league numbers. So this year, yeah, he's been solid this year. Really, really solid, actually. 24 years old, 260 ERA through 97 innings and a sub-1 whip. And he's been good, not just this year, he's been good in his minor league career. An eighth round pick, but a really effective starter. And what does that scream to you, Tommy? Guy none of these players have ever seen or scouted. He'll probably be pretty effective tonight, right? Like he'll probably find some success tonight. That's we see that all the time. So the Royals are going to have to bring it. They're going to have to get a big start out of one of their aces, and that's okay.
There is a little bit of a concerning trend that I've noticed just in, you know, the brief research I've done in the last little while. This is the third series in a row for the Royals where they've lost the opening game of a series. And before that, prior to the three series openers that they've lost in a row, the last seven series before that, they had won the opening game in each one of those series. And that dates all the way back to the All-Star break. So really, you know, for a while coming out of the All-Star break, and, you know, it shows why the Royals have had such a great record since the All-Star break, and they've had a lot of success, is because they've been able to start off series in a really positive way. And even in the series, there have been a handful of them where they haven't won the series. They've lost two out of three or whatever. They've split four game sets. In the, you know, seven series after the All-Star break, they always won the opening game. The last three, though, they've dropped the opening game. Their backs have been up against the wall a little bit in each one of them. You know, that dates back to the Red Sox series and then, of course, the Cardinals over the weekend and now yesterday's opener against the Twins. So to me, that's a little bit concerning because you always want to see whether it's a three or four game set, or in the case of the Cardinals, even just a small two game series. You want to see the Royals always start off each series in a great and positive way. That way they kind of control how that series will ultimately end up, whether they win the series or sweep or whatever, instead of having their backs up against the wall, which they are now again on the road against Minnesota. And, you know, to me, I obviously don't want to see that trend continue. I don't know if three series in a row is, you know, anything to get overly concerned about, but I do take notice of that.
Are we being unfair to, I think we probably are. And again, I totally admit this all the time. When you're in the middle of a playoff chase, this happens, and I enjoy that it happens. It means baseball's relevant. But are we being unfair already saying their backs are against the wall in this series, or already, you know what I mean? Always already making it feel a little more desperate probably than it needs to be. It was one game. You know, now if they lose tonight, yeah, then I think we probably can be appropriate with it. But if they win tonight, then it's just like an opportunity tomorrow and not anything else. So maybe we're overreacting slightly. But again, that is the beauty of relevant late summer baseball. That is the beauty of it, is to overreact. The beauty of it is to get so frustrated, you know, waste a day. Like, when was the last time? I mean, we're sitting, it's August 13th. It's August 13th, yeah. And we're neck deep in Royals. It's been almost, it feels like a decade. It hadn't been quite that long, but almost, since we've been able to even go through this as baseball fans. It's such a different experience. Why, you know, competitive and relevant baseball is still the best. Because you get it every day. It's the roller coaster of a season every day, and especially when you're in the middle of a playoff chase like this. You know, like you're the Orioles, or there's somebody, you know, you're one of these teams that's got all the distance on the rest of the field. Then you're like, okay, but man, when you're in the middle of it like this, you just want to get so frustrated and get them back out there, and they'll do that tonight. So we'll preview tonight's game a little more specifically as we make our way through. Again, Zebby Matthews, who's a wind surge guy. So, you know, good on you, Austin, for catching that. I saw a last name, didn't think a whole lot about it as I was looking at the matchups, and it didn't even dawn on me, but of course, it makes sense. So we'll look at that one a little bit later. We're going to look at these AP top 25 polls. We'll get you a Hollywood Brown update as well. I am curious, when you look at KU and K-State's football schedule as it pertains to the polls, it's pretty wild. It's pretty wild to see the difference in the two schedules, at least based on preseason predictions. And I think, Tommy, that's pretty meaningful, potentially, to this college football season and the way it plays out. We'll get into that. Chiefs update. Let's set up our first giveaway. And let's do HTO first hour today. All you got to do to win some free iced tea, more than 20 flavors, some free rain coffee, iced hot, however you like your coffee, from HTO. All you got to do is text keyword tea to the short code 20357. These will be good for any of the Wichita Metro locations, east, west, or in Derby. Again, that's T-T-E-A to the short code 20357. Message and data rates apply. You can enter once per day. Good luck, everybody. More Sports Daily right after this.
And 1240 KFH.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club. We appreciate Crestview's support of the program. It'll be a little soggy out there for the golf today, but boy, that's gonna make those fairways pop, Tommy. You've been working on the fairways this summer. They look good. I was out there, excuse me, toward the end of last week, and some of that work is finally finishing up. It looks really, really nice out there, both the north and south.
Yeah, I think that's the difference between you and me. You're more glass half full. I'm probably more glass half empty. You say it's going to make the fairways look really good. You're right. It's going to make the rough really thick and really long and a lot harder to play. So
just don't hit it in the rough. That's easy.
I mean, I know you're a master at that. I know you never miss a fairway in the way you play golf.
That's right. You hit it. When you only hit it about 75 yards, you can hit it straight. It's easy.
We call that old man golf. You don't have to really do a whole lot. Golf.
That's what I'm
trying. Right down the middle, working, nice and easy.
I am working on my old man golf game. 100%. That is where my game needs to live. And it was born that way. In the Texas Panhandle, you got to play that way out of necessity because the wind, you think the wind's bad here. There's wind worse there with no trees. And so you better learn how to play old man golf. That's going to be my wheelhouse of my game is that.
Was it also because you couldn't go in the tall stuff because of the rattlesnakes? you had to be really concerned about?
Water moccasins. There weren't rattles. I didn't see any. I did. That's not true. I've seen plenty of rattlesnakes on the golf course. Yeah. Now I grew up in the country. You went about rattlesnakes. Like I grew up with rattlesnakes. I've the Indiana Jones, you remember that ball of snakes? Yeah. I've come up on a snake pit in the backyard of my house like that. It's the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. I hate snakes, not so much because of a fear, but out of like a defense mechanism. When you grow up always on the defense from rattlesnakes, you hate snakes and they can all die. Sorry, animal lovers, the rattlesnakes can die. And I don't apologize for that. But we appreciate Crestview's support. No rattlesnakes out of Crestview. I've never seen a snake out of Crestview, in fact. Plenty of fish, though, out in the ponds. But we appreciate Crestview. Go check out the facilities. Check out those golf courses. See what we're talking about. They've got the fairways they've been working on. They look really, really good, both sides, both north and south. And a lot of that work, I know they've been working hard on that, is paying off here. Tommy's got a real issue right now with a new fragrance out for men. A, are you a cologne guy, Tommy?
Yeah, I didn't used to be. My wife kind of got me on that. I mean, she'll buy me cologne, and then I feel like I need to use it. So.
Same. So I guess Hellman's has a mayonnaise cologne out now, and it's being endorsed by Will Levis, which is really smart. Like it's a fun campaign. It's really smart, but it begs the question of mayonnaise. And, you know, it's a funny, you know, kooky idea. He likes mayonnaise. It's kind of like the Patrick Mahomes ketchup thing. But mayonnaise, let's spend just a second on mayonnaise here. Through this conversation, we have found out, and I thought there aren't a lot like me. I'm 100% a Miracle Whip guy. Like, give me Miracle Whip over mayonnaise 10 times out of 10. It's not so much that I don't like mayonnaise, and I you know, if you or any of your guys are working on a big mayonnaise deal, I apologize for this.
But not that I know of.
I just, like, mayonnaise to me, it's a better, like, it's a better ingredient to things than it is a sandwich spread. Like, if it's used in making some other kind of dish, like, okay, fine. But as just a sandwich spread or like on a burger, I give me Miracle Whip, man. Like, cause it has some flavor. Mayo just doesn't have a ton of flavor. It just kind of, you know, it kind of lubes up the sandwich, and I get that. But it, you know, if I'm going to go that route, like, I want a little flavor. And so I'm a Miracle Whip guy always.
Yeah, you know, I'm happy to report that after yesterday's show, when you and I were at each other's throats, basically from start to finish, we agree on this. I've been a Miracle Whip person my entire life as well. It was always Miracle Whip over mayonnaise, to the point to, you know, when I was younger, if a sandwich or something had mayo on it, I probably wouldn't touch it. It had to be Miracle Whip. That being said, as I've gotten older, my palate has adjusted, and I can do mayonnaise. Like, it's okay. I'll eat it. I'm not going to turn a sandwich down that's got mayo on it. I'll eat a burger that has mayo on it, but I prefer Miracle Whip to this day.
It's not a knock on mayo. I am not anti-mayo. I'm fine with mayo. I just like Miracle Whip a whole lot more on a sandwich specifically. I catch a lot of grief from this, but my wife is team mayo for sure.
So is my wife.
And she, you know, she pretends like she doesn't like Miracle Whip, but it's pretending, because anytime I sneak it in there, we appreciate that, Rick, need the tangy zip of Miracle Whip. Anytime I sneak it in there, she likes it. You know what I mean? Like, if it's mixed in, like, I use it in my deviled eggs, or what, like, she's like, oh, and that's, I'm like, that's Miracle Whip. When I was a kid, I would just eat Miracle Whip sandwiches, which are two pieces of bread with Miracle Whip. That's it.
Nothing else.
Nothing else. That was like that was one of my go-to snacks as a kid.
When I was a kid, it was similar. Honestly, it was white bread. It was Miracle Whip. I couldn't just do the Miracle Whip. I would have like the Kraft American cheese slices.
Oh yeah.
And that was it. Yeah. Just cheese and Miracle Whip on bread. I had to add a little bit more. Jad, he's actually against us on this. You're a mayo guy, right, Jad?
Jad, no.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Miracle Whip is too sweet. I mean, why not just, you know, pour two or three teaspoons of sugar onto a sandwich, and there you go.
It's the tangy zip, Jad. It's more than sweet. Ketchup is just sweet, but we use ketchup all the time. And listen.
No, I don't actually. I don't like ketchup either.
And I'm team mustard now, like my preferred, because I don't want the sugar. You're right about that. I don't want anything. I try if I can to avoid things that are unnecessarily bad for me. So I just go with mustard 9 times out of 10, anytime I'm doing it. But I will tell you that mustard Miracle Whip together, incredible combination.
A good combo. I'll take that.
Mustard ketchup together is an incredible combination, which, you know, McDonald's made famous, obviously, with the Quarter Pounder. But, like, I love to mix condiments. Mustard and barbecue sauce together, incredible. Like, I am a condiment mixer. You can't really do that with any of them with mayo. It doesn't really add anything.
And I'll tell, but I'll tell you, though.
Fry sauces
I will, one exception to that, sriracha mayo. Fantastic.
Yeah,
better than any other combo you've mentioned so far.
I don't think it's better, but I do like it. And now you're getting into a territory where you're good on a sandwich. Like you.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For Trent. Number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You get into the Chipotle mayos and the, you know, all of those things. They're
the
always
aiolis
good.
Of the world, which garlic, you know, aioli. Is a fancy yeah. word for mayo, yeah. I think.
But mayo itself, like, I need, give me something with it.
What's always confused me about Miracle Whip, and don't get me wrong, I'm a Miracle Whip supporter, fan, defender, all of it. But have you ever noticed, and it's been this way for decades, on the actual Miracle Whip jar, it says salad dressing. Have you ever put Miracle Whip on a salad before? Because to me, that seems wrong. Like, I'll draw the line on that. And you know my opinions on mixing food and all of that.
Probably.
I just don't, like, has anybody ever been like, man, I'm going to have a tasty salad. And you know what? I think today I'm going to put Miracle Whip on top of my salad. I'm not sure that's ever happened.
Yeah, you're right. And it's bad marketing from the folks over at Miracle Whip because it's not salad dressing. It's a condiment. And that's always been people's argument, because I've been having this fight since I was a kid eating Miracle Whip sandwiches. Like, people are like, it's not even a thing. It's salad dressing. And I'm like, it's not a salad dressing. Who uses it? Nobody uses it that way. And then it kind of died. Like, Miracle Whip kind of, you know, this debate was hot, you know, 15 years ago, 20 years ago. Miracle Whip kind of died. And listen, I'm a big supporter. I've got some in the fridge right now.
And look, you know, in today's divisive world, and we're coming up on an election cycle, I mean, you know, you and I and our marriages should be an example that people can come together on both sides of the aisle.
That's right.
You know, because you're a Miracle Whip fan. I'm a Miracle Whip fan. Our wives are mayo. And we both make it work in our relationships. If we can make it work with the mayo Miracle Whip divide, then this country can make it work.
That's right. Just always remember that. Some people like ketchup, some people like mustard. That hot dog debate, I say put them both on there. I like them both. You want to have a mayo miracle? Let's just have a little of everything. Let's just expand your horizons. Think outside the box. At the same time, understanding that Miracle Whip is a far superior condiment than mayo by itself. 869-1240, if you'd like to chime in on that. I don't even know how you'd classify. We'll just call it a condiment.
And you know, by the way, good for Will Levis. I mean, you know, as far as that being an endorsement
that's awesome.
Deal, like there's a Hellman's. Thing. Hellman's just did a commercial, put it out a couple hours ago, and it's fantastic. And I don't know a lot about Will Levis, but I mean, to his credit, this is a way to introduce him, I think, to the masses.
What are the chances, by the way, on him as we go back to sports? Is it relates to this on Sports Daily? I think Will Levis has a chance to actually be kind of good. And I don't know yet, and I wasn't sold coming out, but I thought he was much better than I thought he would be last year. And low-key, the Titans have really improved, I think, that offense. Now, DeAndre Hopkins is a little bit banged up. We'll see. Remember, they brought in Calvin Ridley. They brought over Tony Pollard, which is fine. I think Tyjae Spears is really good. Even though they lose Derrick Henry, I do think they're off. They've invested a lot in that offense this offseason. They're sort of going all in, I think, to see if Will Levis has got it. And I don't think any of us gave him a chance. You remember the draft night and he kind of had to sit around and wait. I don't think any of us really gave him a chance. But I thought he looked pretty good last year. And I'm curious to see him this year as an NFL quarterback in that new look offense.
Well, and he was kind of thrown into the situation last year because of Ryan Tannehill's injury and played well enough to be able to be given the starting role for the remainder of last season. And to a point to where the Titans said, hey, we're going to try to build this offense around you. What I think is pretty impressive about Will Levis, and I don't know if he's going to be a superstar, probably not, but it happens quite a bit where you've got a new quarterback in the season prior with one coach, and then that coach leaves, a new coach comes in, and they want their own quarterback in that role. And, you know, it would have been absolutely timed right for the Titans to totally open up a quarterback search with a brand new head coach in there. They didn't do that. Like, they stuck with Will Levis. You know, Tannehill's out, Malik Willis is out. They stuck with Will Levis, and they want to build that offense around him. I don't feel like that happens a lot when you've got a brand new coaching staff coming in. When I don't think anybody would have blamed the new Titans coaching staff to say, you know what, we're going to go out and we're going to find our own quarterback. We're going to trade for somebody or draft somebody. We're going to try to make it work with our own person rather than the guy that we just inherited. But they're gonna make it work with Will Levis. And I think that is a testament to what they see in him and what he could potentially do.
I mean, he may not be good. You know, he may not pan out. I think that's still very much a possible outcome, don't you? Like, I'm not saying sure. that I'm 100% convinced that Will Levis is the guy and going to be awesome and, you know, watch out. And
but what would have stopped Brian Callahan, the new head coach of the Titans, to say, oh, you know, Levis, we appreciate what you did filling in for Ryan Tannehill last year. And, you know, you were the starter in the season, but Mike Vrabel's out. It's my team now. I'm going to make a change. I'm going to go try to find my own quarterback.
Like, and let's clarify, like, he didn't even complete 60% of his passes, which is, you know, is well below NFL standard, right? 2-1 touchdown to interception ratio, which for a rookie is actually pretty good. And I think that's what caught people off guard. And then of course he can run a little bit, right? Like, that athletic ability. He didn't run a ton, but he can stay upright, I guess we can call it. And he played 9 games, only carried it 25 times. He's not a running quarterback necessarily, but he can use it to his advantage, which has also become such a big part of, you know, the NFL. I would say the chances are less than 50-50 that in 2 years he's still the quarterback of the Tennessee Titans, right? But I don't blame them at all for building around him to see what he's got, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Like, let's see what he's got. He flashed a little bit last year. Let's see what he's got. You know, he's got the attitude to be successful. So can he follow it up? I don't know. But I don't blame him for – I'm glad they didn't just sit him with a bad roster, basically, and let it – wallow away. Like, get some guys around him. Let's see what he's got. Let's see what he's got in the tank. Anyway, quick aside on Will Levis. Let's take a quick break. We'll start. Let's save our college football talk for the top of the next hour. By the way, this football talk is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Let's come back. Let's get you updated on Hollywood Brown and check in from Chiefs camp yesterday. So we'll do that and then we'll get into this overview of the schedule for KU and K-State. When you look at it based on the preseason expectations, very, very different stories happening there. So we'll get into that. We'll dig in deep in the second hour. Your calls always open on the IHOP hotline, 869-1240. It is wide open for you today. We'll get our second giveaway coming in the second hour as well. Thanks for watching us on 12 News Connected, by the way. We'll have more Sports Daily right after this.
And 1240 KFH.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. Glad to be with you on this Tuesday. Promising news, Tommy, I think, for Hollywood Brown. As promising as you can get, basically. That he didn't need surgery, which, you know, I guess it was just good to hear it. I don't know that anything really changed yesterday with the Andy Reid update, but I do think it reassured that things, you know, look like they're going to be the normal recovery and the minimums and all that. And if that's the case, he may be ready for week one. It'll be close. And I am curious to see how they treat that. I would imagine that he greatly wants to get on the field. How frustrating must that be for Hollywood Brown? You're in this situation largely because of the injuries you've sustained over your career. You come to Kansas City. We all feel like to get a year with Mahomes and then go get a big contract, which I still think is very much on the table. And then you play the first play, you take a bad tackle, you get this injury, which has nothing to do with your injury history. And you just got to feel so snake bitten right now if you're Hollywood Brown. So I would imagine that he wants to get out there quickly into the regular season. And I would be pretty surprised if he's not back by week two, if not the opener. But somebody has to step up. And that was the other part yesterday is Xavier Worthy talked for the Chiefs. So, you know, if they don't have him in the first week against the Ravens, I don't know what it means. I do want to start thinking, though, about like, what if he misses time? What if any of these guys miss time? What if Rashee Rice misses time this year? It's just an interesting change to the offense.
Well, I absolutely understand the desire to be out there for week one. And especially any game after that. The concern that I have is even though he didn't require surgery, the risk of re-injury with that particular situation is high. I have nothing in common with Hollywood Brown. I want to be very clear about that on the front end. But I have broken my collarbone before. I was a kid, got body slammed at a birthday party, broke my collarbone, had to wear a brace for like 6 weeks. And, you know, obviously it was painful, but even after it healed, and I know that his wasn't broken, it was dislocated, so that's a difference entirely. But even after my injury healed, I still had a limited range of motion for a period of time. Again, I have nothing in common with Hollywood Brown, so his athleticism is different than mine. But I just obviously know that it took me a minute, even after the injury healed, to get back to a position to where I was back to normal. I can only imagine, and I know that the recovery and, you know, rehab and everything that he'll be doing is at a much different level, so it's probably going to go quicker. I'm just not sure that the prudent thing to do is to rush him back because of that risk of re-injury.
So from what I understand of the injury, I don't think there is a rushing back on this one. From all the diagnosis and everything you see, it's like, when it's healed, it's healed. It shouldn't limit you once it's healed. And what I don't know about, what I'm pretty sure of, if I recall correctly, and know about collarbones, because I know Tony Romo had a bunch of these. Like, it's not, the risk doesn't ever like enhance or go down. It just is a risk now for a while. And I don't know how long that lasts, but like, you're not any more likely or less likely based on the amount of time once it heals. It's just re-breaking a collarbone happens more easily than it did the first time. And again, I don't remember if that lasts forever. I don't think it does, but I don't, from what I can gather and what I'm sensing from everything, from the coaches and from all the, you know, all the doctors and things you see on social media, they're trying to analyze this. It doesn't really matter. Like, once he's ready to go, he's ready to go. Like, there's not any.
But I do think that you have to look at what that part of the body impacts in your game. And I think positively, Hollywood Brown is very fast. This isn't a leg injury, foot injury, whatever. So right. It's not going to impact his speed or the way in which he runs routes, I don't think. But I do think that there could be a scenario where even if it is healed, if that range of motion is not 100%, that may impact like his catch radius. You know, will they have to put the ball, Patrick Mahomes have to put the ball in a certain spot, or, you know, if it's up high or where, you know, wherever, is that going to limit Hollywood Brown in the catches that he can make for a period of time because he's dealing with this injury that it will be healed, but I think there's going to be at least a period of time where he might be limited with, you know, how he moves and what that looks like.
I'm trying to pull up Tyreek Hill's game. Tyreek Hill missed the minimum in 2019 when he had this injury. He just missed the four games, and it sounds like it is literally the exact same injury. And I don't have his game logs in front of me because he couldn't pull those up real quick. Maybe I can here, actually, real quick. So Tyreek Hill in 2019, he had the injury in week number two. He had it early in the year, and then he missed four games, and then he came back in week six and was effective, right? He had five catches, 3, 6, 6, 11. So it doesn't look like it limited him, you know, much, if it did at all. And I think those are moderately comparable players. Nobody's comparable to Tyreek Hill and what he does, but at least as far as, you know, how the Chiefs might utilize him to some degree. So I think the good news is I get the sense that he'll be back at the minimum. That's kind of the way I'm gauging this. And if he's back at the minimum, that could be as soon as week one. Maybe it's limited week one. Maybe they limit him just. I mean, there is, I suppose, something to, if you were planning on giving Hollywood Brown, I don't know, 8 targets a game in the offense, maybe you take the contact risk down by giving him 6 or 5 targets.
But, I mean, do you think that it's a legitimate concern that even if it is healed, that it's going to take maybe a little bit more time for the effectiveness to be back to 100%?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm just seeing what you know, doctors and the from what I can gather, the risk isn't in any of that. The risk is just, and the risk doesn't change no matter when you come back. Re-breaking a collarbone becomes a risk anytime you break your collarbone.
And I'll tell you,
I have
right
not
now,
seen anybody say that they think he'll be limited in any way.
If I'm a defensive coordinator, like, you know, especially for the Ravens in week one, if I'm Lou Anarumo with the Bengals in week two, whenever Hollywood Brown returns, the first thing that I'm going to do with Hollywood Brown is I'm going to jam him at the line of scrimmage. I'm going to try to play physical with him at the line of scrimmage because, you know, not
easy,
that
Greg Williams.
Well, I'm not putting a hit out on the guy. Like, I'm not trying to hurt him. But what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to play physical with him in that, you know, period of,
but
you know,
But
I'm going to try to jam him up at the line of scrimmage because, you know, again, this is not going to impact his speed or running routes down the field or whatever, but it could potentially impact, you know, how physical he can be in getting separation, right? Like, think about wide receivers and what they try to do to break getting jammed at the line of scrimmage.
Correct.
You know, you're extending your arms out. You're trying to do whatever you can to get around it. And if there is any kind of limitation with that range of motion, that might be a challenge, at least initially, for Hollywood Brown to be able to do.
I think the most important question in all of this is, will the Chiefs adjust their plan knowing his re-injury risk is higher? I don't know the answer to that. And I don't even have a strong take on that, on whether they should or they should not. I think what I'm most curious about is anybody else on the roster capable of it in spurts, in times during a game, at any point, if it's extended time, stepping into the role they envisioned for Hollywood Brown? And I don't know that there is. I think Worthy and Rice have different skill sets. Well, I don't know about Worthy, honestly. Like, we got to see Worthy play. So maybe he can. I'm not sure. And he talked yesterday, and look, he keeps talking about, you know, the challenge for him. The number one challenge is that playbook, and he just is like buried in the playbook and trying to learn all that. And maybe he can. It's a nice insurance policy. Maybe the insurance policy for Rashee Rice ends up being an insurance policy for Hollywood Brown. I don't know. Maybe Hollywood Brown this year We need to temper expectations and think of him as just a weapon when they've got him, but not the main weapon. Rashee Rice is maybe the, well, Travis Kelce's always going to be the main weapon, but Rashee Rice is, you know, he's the guy. He's the proven guy. And it's almost like we have to make two adjustments. One, the likelihood of Rashee Rice not getting suspended increases every day. And two, the likelihood of Hollywood Brown staying healthy, not just for this, but for any reason, we're never that high anyway. So maybe we do need to readjust, because I've always thought of Hollywood as potentially being Mahomes' go-to guy. Maybe that's not what they need him to be. And that's, I think, what will take some time to think about. Maybe it's not hot. Maybe Hollywood's option three or option four. I don't know. But hopefully they get him back quickly. It does at least get promising with the, you know, with the news we've gotten over the last 48 hours or so with that collarbone. When we come back, we're going to pull up the AP Top 25. And we're going to pull up the schedules for KU and K-State football. One of them has a much easier path based on preseason expectations than the other. We'll explain. We'll return on Sports Daily. It's all Brockton Caster. We'll have another giveaway for you in the second hour. All kinds of fun coming. Don't go away.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.